ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think Michael's ever done drugs.
It's Mike Shope.
I don't know if anyone's ever offered him any.
Let's go over some of the symptoms of marijuana use, shall we? You tell me who this sounds like.
It's the Bulldog.
Slow moving. Inattentive. Dull. Constantly snacking. Shows a lack of motivation.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Word, at least as of an hour ago, of trouble with the tickets in Toronto for tonight. Some apparently fairly widespread internet breakdowns today.
Yeah, there's been some stuff. Yeah. So I saw a tweet from Ticketmaster and/or the Blue Jays, like, you know, we're working through it. Please be patient.
Oh, I would not be patient.
No, that
if I had a ticket to this game, and
dude,
I would not be patient.
I had Red Sox Marlins tickets in my wallet for 2 months.
Your e-wallet.
My e-wallet, right? For 2 months and. I'd go look at them every, I don't know, once a week or so. Like, barcode will appear at a later date, it said. Right, so the ticket was there, but it was not going to get me into the ballpark. And it wasn't until 24 or 36 hours before the game that the barcode appeared. How much stress do you think I had about that barcode?
How would you feel right now if the game's in 4 hours?
Right.
It's game 7 of the ALCS.
Right.
I could not get into the Bills game against New England without transferring my parking pass and tickets to my son's phone because he has a wallet. He has an e-wallet. I do not have that, as far as I know. I don't use an e-wallet. So every time I would open the Bills app, it would crash. Mm-hmm. Like, it probably was 100 times. And I was way ahead of it. I mean, the morning of, it's a night game. I was way ahead of it. I want to know now that I'm good. Yeah. I was not good.
You were not good.
No. I mean, time after time after time, it would just crash. And I'm like, I got to take this to the authority, my teenage son.
Right. Exactly.
And he sat next to me and he's like, and this was, I almost cried when he said it. Dad, you're right. I was right. It wasn't technology's fault. It wasn't my fault. It was the Bills app.
Something
would just
was
crash
acting weird,
all the time.
Right.
And so what I did was send the tickets to him, and then he had pictures, and he didn't even, like, you don't even need to scan a code anymore if you've got what he has. You just sort of hold the phone up to the scanner and you're in.
Yeah.
Without it, I don't know. I go home.
Yeah, I guess so.
Matt Verderam with us. Hope you enjoyed our stories, Matt. Matt's with us on the West Hur Hotline.
Old guys complaining about technology.
I mean, if you're wondering, it gets way worse than this in here.
I get it. I get it. I have had to help my dad get into defense over the years, and there's a lot of screaming and foul language on both ends of that every time it happens. So I totally empathize.
I'm 53. When I was a season ticket holder of the Sabres, that started in 2005, so 20 years ago. And I would, you know, we'd talk to people on the air, be like, can't they just do the paper tickets? And the Sabres would make that an option, but I would think to myself, really? You need the paper tickets. Can't you just figure out how to use your phone? Yeah. Now, here I am.
Fast forward 20 years later, you need the paper tickets.
It's way worse now. It is way more complicated now, I think.
It used to be a lot more satisfying. I mean, I'm 37, but I'm kind of an old soul. And I miss going to a game with an actual physical ticket.
Yeah.
And then you got to, like, keep the stub. Like, when I was a kid, I'm a Devils fan. I grew up a New Jersey Devils fan. And we used to go to the games in the Meadowlands. I probably still to this day have about 95% of ticket stubs that I want. I look at them every once, once a year, once every other year. And I remember that. Yeah, Brodeur shut out Boston that night or whatever. I was 9. Like, it brings back a memory. Now it's just a barcode on your phone.
You have to have the physical ticket to have that memory. Because without it, you'd never even, like, how would you think of it? That's right. All right, Matt. Well, here we are in Buffalo. It's 2 straight losses, then a bye week. It's been a while, I would say, since most fans have felt really good about them. Could you still feel really good? I mean, it is 2 losses, but they've done this kind of thing before. I guess it is somewhat a function of what the rest of the conference looks like. How do you feel about where the Bills stand at this point?
I still think they're going to be right where they always are. In the divisional round or further. Look, I understand why Bills fans feel the way they do. Like, it's completely justified to look at the Bills through their first 6 games and say, I'm worried about the defense, and I'm worried about Josh Allen having to do everything offensively when they're not handing the ball off to Cook. Like, I get it, and I think there's valid parts of that. Like, I think the reason it's so disconcerting if you're a Bills fan is probably because you feel like you're watching the same team over and over year after year, where it's just safety play is not good, pass rush is spotty, Allen is forced to do everything offensively at times. But I'd also argue that those teams have also been like a whisper away from the Super Bowl a lot of years. Right. So, like, I saw somebody say today in a prominent role that, like, the biggest threats to the Chiefs in the AFC are the Colts and the Patriots, and that's ridiculous. That's just not accurate. Like, the Bills are the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC, have been for 5 years and continue to be.
And the Chiefs have very much so righted the ship. You could kind of maybe see this coming, getting guys back. Worthy was out. He's back. That coincides with their offense opening back up. And now Rice is back, 2 touchdowns yesterday. And we're looking more like a Mahomes MVP caliber year here again for the first time in a few years, Matt.
Yeah, well, I mean, they haven't had weapons. Look, in 2022, he threw for 5,200 yards, and they won the Super Bowl, and he was the MVP for the second time in his career. And then they went into 2023, and they drafted Rashee Rice, who's a rookie that year, and they went into that year thinking Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, and Marcus Valdes-Scantling were going to be their, like, big three. And predictably, that was a tire fire. And then, like, they did just enough with Rice, and they still had Kelce. And that was enough with a top 2 defense to win the Super Bowl. And then last year, Rice got hurt, and Worthy was a rookie, and Hollywood got hurt. And it was a disaster. And now this year, they finally have all these guys, and the result has been insane over the last 4 weeks. I mean, I went back and charted over the last 4 weeks, the offense, if you exclude drives, they just knelt down. They have had 30 drives in the last 4 games, and their offensive starters have been on the field. They've scored in 21 of those drives. Like, they don't punt. They never punt the ball anymore. And I think, though, the underrated thing of this, it's really, look, we talk about the weapons, it's their offensive line. Their offensive line the last couple of years has been really, really questionable, especially tackle. And this year, that's just not the case. Before Josh Simmons left the team for personal reasons, he was playing great. Now they have Jalen Moore. He's been fantastic. Kingsley Suamadia was a disaster at guard as a rookie last year, at tackle last year. He's been great as a left guard for them. And so that's been the biggest difference. Mahomes is just never pressured. And if he's not pressured and he has 3 seconds, he's going to do what he or Josh Allen or Joe Burrow do. He's going to slice you up.
Chiefs are here in week 9. It's coming up. Week 8, Bills at Carolina. Kansas City hosts a perhaps Jaden Daniels-less Washington team. That's only a perhaps after what was said today. It's not a given that he'll miss.
Right.
But Chiefs a 10-point favorite. Bills an 8-point favorite in Carolina. And then they'll meet in Orchard Park in Week 9. You know, it's interesting as a talk show host here, Matt, with the Bills. Like, again, for the entirety of the offseason and going into the season, it really is like we talk and talk and talk, but then we kind of all know it's going to be about what happens in January. And that can be one play that makes it, that determines whether this was all good or not, you know? And I kind of want, if you've already said it, so I apologize, but I kind of want to think about this team. I want to think it, and then, you know, it's going to help me to think it, is that that's where we're at here. But they're not perfect, you know, like the wide receiver point that gets made. You mentioned the secondary. Defense. The defense of the Bills just does not have the name brands, or at least if they do, they're older in this unit than we're used to.
I think this entire thing, and by this whole thing, I mean the AFC, is going to come down to if the Bills play the Chiefs in January, which I expect those two teams to meet, wherever the game is. That game's coming down to one thing. Can Buffalo hit Mahomes? If they can, they've got a real shot to win. And if they can't, they're going home. That's it. Like, that has been the story, to me at least, in all these games they've played over the years. If the Bills have not been able – Ed Oliver's been invisible in those games. Greg Rousseau has largely been invisible in those games. And if that's the case, like, it's just over. Like, I've watched the Chiefs my entire life. And I've watched every Mahomes game at least once, in a lot of cases twice. And I can tell you, the only time they lose is when he gets just relentlessly hit. The Eagles Super Bowl the second time around, the Bucks Super Bowl. The only time that wasn't true was in the game they lost to Cincinnati in the playoffs in 2021, where Anarumo dropped 8 guys and basically said, please throw it into double coverage all over the field, and the Chiefs just refused to run. And they lost it overtime. That is the only time they've lost a game in a big spot where it's not been because of the pass rush. And I just think, again, like, the Bills, look, they're going to score their points. I know they don't have the top-tier weapon you'd love to have on the outside. Allen and Cook and that line, Shakir, they're going to score. The big question for me in those games is, can the Bills, with 4 guys, get home? And if they can do it, they can win. That's true in Week 9. That's true in January. If they can't do it, the Chiefs are going to do what they do to everybody. They're going to go 4 and 5 wide. They're going to spread the field, and they're going to say, cover them. Do it. And it's just – it's very difficult. It's a hard thing to do against that team.
Matt, what do you make of the newcomers, if you will, to the top of the standings here, at least as of now? New England is ahead of the Bills in the AFC East, and the Colts are ahead of everyone in the conference. Any way you'd like to talk about both of those teams, whether you're buying that they are contenders of this caliber?
I thought New England was a playoff team going through the year. I had them, I think it was my 7th seed on our SI picks. Look, May has been awesome. And Vrabel, we knew, was going to be, you know, good coming in. He's been a very good coach. Not surprisingly, that's all true. My concern about New England in a playoff game is, I just think if you can kind of tamp down Diggs in that game, I don't know what they're going to do. Like, Booty's a good player. Hunter Henry's fine. But, you know, we all know this. I mean, the Bills have been in a million playoff games the last handful of years. Like, when you get into the playoffs, it's largely about who your best guys are and just how well can you stack up. Now, May, to his credit, has played very well, but, you know, can he survive in a game where, hey, you know what, they're going to double digs every play and everything's going to be about you running the ball to Ramondre Stevenson and playing defense and hoping that's enough. Like, I think they're a genuinely good team. I think they could win a playoff game. I don't think they're going to Buffalo winning a game. I don't think they're going to Kansas City winning a game. Indianapolis, to be fair, is a very interesting team in the sense that you look at them and everybody has the exact same knee-jerk reaction. It's Daniel Jones. Like, that's the reaction. And it's just like, that team can't win. They have Daniel Jones. And maybe that's true. Like, maybe he turns into a pumpkin in the second half of the season, right? Maybe there's more and more film, and teams just start to realize, like, okay, there's a blueprint, there's a way to beat this guy, and that's it. They are scoring at an outrageous clip. And I know a lot of these teams they've played are bad. I get it. The Chargers are at least a good team. They annihilated the Chargers in that game. They just did whatever they wanted to do. I think the key is slowing down Taylor and basically turning them into a passing team. But, look, give them credit. Again, I still – if you made me bet my mortgage, I'd still take Buffalo or Kansas City all day, every day in a playoff game over either of those two teams. But you've got to give the Colts a lot of credit. They're not just winning. They're winning by huge margins, and that's the sign of a really good team.
They do have some interesting weapons, too. I like Downs, but he missed yesterday with a concussion. Still, Michael Pittman is pretty reliable, and Tyler Warren is the next. Actually, he's not the only one. Yeah, the next rookie tight end to beat the to beat history, right? Because rookie tight ends are not supposed to be able to do anything, but we've had a couple in recent years. I say what I say because Aronde Gadsden, Bulldog out of Syracuse, put up a huge game. With Matt Verderam, SI Now, also the Kansas City Sports Network, and other sites we've had Matt on many times.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
How about the NFC? For a while here, we've had that the AFC has been top tier. And, you know, somebody comes out of the NFC. I don't know if you would have put it that way. I mean, the Eagles did win it last year. San Francisco's been twice. And now we've got, Matt, we've got Detroit. Green Bay has one loss. Tampa Bay, with which plays tonight, has one loss. Maybe the Rams. Maybe even Seattle. Like, what's for you the balance of power between the conferences at this stage?
I think right. If you said to me right now who's coming out of the NFC, look, my preseason NFC title game was the Rams and the Bucs, and I'm sticking with it. Those are the two best teams. And now Philadelphia, you have to respect them. You can't just sit there and say that hey, they're done. They're not. They're 5-2. They're defending champions. The thing that scares me about Philadelphia is they're just not playing a complete 60 minutes. And when you watch them, it's kind of hard to put your finger on what's wrong with them, but they just – you know, now, part of it, Barkley's just not been any good, and that's obviously a huge part of this whole deal. But, yeah, I feel like they're missing a gear that I don't know that they can get to this season with all the guys they lost off of last year's team. The Rams should, honest to God, be 7-0. They just can't kick a field goal. Like, if the Rams could kick a field goal, they'd be 7-0, but they gave away two games. I like the Rams. You worry about Stafford staying healthy all year, and you worry about if you can block them, that secondary is not great. But I do like them. And, of course, they've been able to win a championship recently. And then Tampa, look, I got to give it to Tampa. You're talking about a team. Evans has been hurt. McMillan's been hurt. Godwin's been hurt. Ibuka's been hurt. He's been awesome when he's been healthy. Irving has been hurt. Worf has been hurt. They're 5-1. Like, I don't know how they're doing what they're doing because defensively they're okay, but they're not great. But Tampa is a really underrated team. And I look at Detroit and say, if everything's clicking, I will love what Detroit can do, but the defense still worries me a little bit. And we kind of saw it against Kansas City. If you can make them just drop back and throw the ball, they're not great. Goff without a great running game, not terrifying. And that's kind of the problem. I believe in Mayfield. I believe in Stafford more than I believe in Goff.
By the way, do you have a take on whether you think Ibuka plays tonight? Do you think that's for show, or do you think you could actually play?
I think it's probably a long shot, but the hamstring's weird. You know, sometimes you can get that thing loose and it's all right, but it feels like going into this week, they really didn't think he was going to play, and now all of a sudden he's quickly gotten one. They got the extra day, Sometimes those things can change. Yep. I would tend to think it's probably more of a long shot.
All right. How about Baltimore at this point? Matt, you think it's over or what?
I mean, I kind of went into this week against Chicago thinking, look, if Lamar comes back, you look at their schedule, it's not impossible, right? Like, they play the Browns again. They play whatever the hell's left of the Dolphins. They play the Jets. They play Cincinnati. They play Cincinnati twice. They play Pittsburgh twice. I know Pittsburgh's 4-2. I don't think there's a soul alive who looks at Pittsburgh and thinks that team's really good. So, like, there's a path there. But now Jackson is still not practicing as of today. He's still out of practice. If they don't win this week against Chicago, I think they're done. I don't think – look, 1-5 is really hard to come back from, but looking at this conference, you might be able to get in 9-8, 10-7. I can definitely get you in. You lose this game – it's just it's already uphill, obviously. But at 1-6, you almost have to run the table. Like, you maybe can lose a game. It's just, I think that'd be it. So they need to beat Chicago in the worst way. And if Jackson's not there, I don't think they're going to do it.
All right, Matt. Bulldog, anything?
I wanted to ask you about Atlanta last night, because we got an eyeful of the Falcons, obviously, here last Monday night, Matt, and seemingly, at least in the first half, able to do whatever they wanted on offense, and we get to, I know it's week to week and matchups and everything, here's San Francisco all banged up on defense, and Atlanta looked relatively clueless last night.
Atlanta, to me, is like the NFC's answer to Jacksonville, where you look at them, and 1 week they play in a way that you're like, wow, that team, okay, not a Super Bowl team, but, like, interesting. Can make the playoffs, like, maybe win. And then you watch them other weeks, and it's like they're learning the sport of football in real time.
Right.
Atlanta last night, you watch Bijan against the Bills, and he looks like Barry Sanders in his prime. And then you watch the game last night, it's a Niners team that, like, literally Chris Collinsworth during the game was like, this guy's replacing Fred Warner, and we don't know who this guy is. And, like, he's out there, like, making 10 tackles. And you just wonder in a game, like, how does Atlanta not run the ball back? Like, how can they not effectively run out? Give Robert Saleh credit. I think Atlanta is just a – like I said, they kind of remind me of the Jags in a way. Like, 9-8,
mm-hmm.
8-9, right? You know, they're going to be one of those teams in Week 18 that, like, they need to win, and, like two other things have to happen for them to make the playoffs. Like, I feel like that's who Atlanta is. Really high variance.
Makes sense. Thanks for your time today. And always, Matt, anything you want to promote?
Just check out outside.com. Got a bunch of pieces got every week. Friday preview file for the best games of the week. The Bills will be in there this week. And then the good, the bad, and the ugly on Sunday, where just in real time, you're kind of getting a stream of consciousness. What's going on around the league, what it means moving forward. So check it out, SI.com, my Twitter feed. It's all there.
I need that sometimes because I tend to lose my mind on Sundays and overreact to everything. So this could probably be useful to me. Thank you, Matt, once again.
You got it. No problem.
Matt Verderam, SI Now, KC Sports Network. The Bills and Panthers from Charlotte on Sunday. Are we all going? It's another one of those where we're all there. Every Bills fan in your life is at this game.
I wish we were going. I wish the figurative we are going. We are, you and I are not.
No, I'm not going.
I would like. Yeah, I got through a whole weekend with no golf, and I know people who are going who are golfing on the weekend, and it just sounds really, really, really
in
nice.
Charlotte.
Yes, right.
Yep. Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah, I didn't make any plans. And so
Josh Allen just got done playing his first ever game in Atlanta. Now he'll play his first game in Charlotte. That might be it then after that. You think?
He's not played at Levi's Stadium yet.
San Francisco, right? Because they played that game in Arizona.
That's where the Super Bowl is this year.
Yes, it is.
Just saying. I think he said the
Would
same
that count?
Thing. I think he said the same thing. Maybe in an interview leading up to last Monday's game. How that'll be the only stadium by the end of this year that he hasn't played in.
Is that the interview he did, the sit down with, is it Marty Smith? You and I never talked about it. Golf, kind of a golf guy?
Yeah.
And the reporter asked Allen at the end of the interview a question about whether he'd feel fulfilled as a man if he never won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And Allen needed a lot of time to think about that answer. And because maybe the reporter referenced Rory McIlroy in the Masters.
And Scott and Scheffler's whole, like, what does this all mean kind of stuff from this summer, where it's like, I win, but, you know, I don't know, afterward it doesn't feel that great.
Allen was, I think, you know, like he does, only it usually doesn't take him very long, sort of processing, what do I want to say, and then how will this sound?
Right.
And he kind of, you know, he ended up sort of in the middle, which I think is perfectly fine, you know, just like, well, I hope so. But
right.
I'm all about winning a championship.
Right. I think he even said I want to say I'd be fine, basically, right, and not have like this aching void in my life. But it sounded like to me he didn't know that he could say that, even though he'd want to. Like, yeah, you know, I'll know I did my best and not have anything lingering. But he didn't want to put his name entirely on that, I don't think.
No, and the thing about that is, he can't be expected to know how he'll feel in 10 years like that. How could you know? It was an interesting interview, I thought, though. I liked it. 803-0550 for your calls. What about Bulldog brings up the Falcons. How do you like that the Falcons showed up last night and couldn't do anything? That had to feel good.
I didn't like it at all.
No.
It kind of made me mad.
Talk some more AFC East as well. Takeaways from Week 7. Panthers in Week 8. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. WGR.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.